The basic reason that I changed my mind was that Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be speaking for God. The Bible says if you are speaking for God, the prophecies that you make, the statements that you make have to be absolutely true. They have to happen. Jehovah's Witnesses announced the end of the world for 1874, 1879, 1881, 1914, 1918, 1925, 1975. And now they display that new disease called loss of memory. They can't remember ever predicting the end of the world.
Okay, what do you do when they say, now, if you really want to know the truth, what you have to do is you got to go pray about it?
Well, you don't have to go and pray about something God has specifically said. For instance, God said, thou shalt not steal. Now, it's ludicrous when you have an opportunity to steal something to bow your head and say, I've got to pray about it. You know automatically God said it. So when the Mormons say, pray about the Book of Mormon, you don't have to pray about the Book of Mormon. All you have to do is take God's word, compare it to the Book of Mormon and Mormon theology, and God has spoken. You reject it.
Besides the major religions in our country, there are more than 3,000 cults, all claiming different ways to God. But Jesus said, He is the only way to God. Who is right? Logically, one leader or one group could be right. But they can't all be right at the same time if they are saying contradictory things. If you are a Christian, do you know how to present the evidence about Jesus and answer people's questions from the Bible? Is your own mind cult-proofed? Or do you have unanswered questions that cause you doubts? The Bible tells Christians, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. On this edition of the John Ankerberg Show, we want to help by showing you how you can answer the questions of sincere people in the cults and skeptics who are searching for the truth. For your own peace of mind, to learn the information people desperately need to hear, we invite you to join us. Welcome to our program. Do you know how to answer the questions of those who are truly searching to learn who Jesus is? Do you know how to answer some of the questions of those in the cults? Well, many times people can ask tricky religious questions that we have to think a long time about. And unfortunately, unanswered questions can sometimes turn people away from Jesus or even start Christians doubting their own faith. Well, in today's program, we're going to try to help you answer, both biblically and logically, different questions that have been raised. Today, our first question has to do with authority. You know that many different religious groups quote the Bible, but teach doctrines that the Bible does not teach. And the basis for their new ideas and contradictory doctrines is their claim that one of their leaders is a prophet or someone special to whom God has given this new information. Many times they will tell you this person has received the true interpretation of the Bible and they follow it. But I want you to think about this. If God is all-loving, would He give us contradictory information about how to get to know Him? Wouldn't it make more sense that He would just give us one way and mark it clearly? That's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way, and no man comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6. If God gave us different ways, contradictory revelations, it would completely confuse our mind, and we could never know the truth. Now, of course, there are some people that claim that we can't know God with our mind. We can only know Him subjectively, experientially, with our heart. But the God of the Bible says, no, that is not true. You can know God both with your mind and your heart, and you can get to the bottom line and know that you know. But how do you go about this? Well, an example of a large religious group in our country that is following leaders who claim to be speaking for God is the Watchtower Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that if the Watchtower makes a statement, declares any doctrine, that their leaders are speaking directly from God. Their organization is the only one declaring the right religion on earth. Well, how would you answer this claim biblically? A Christian's answer must start with Deuteronomy 18:20-22. And we're going to hear this verse explained in a moment by a man who was a Jehovah's Witness himself for 25 years and became one of their top leaders who worked at their headquarters in Brooklyn, New York. He was responsible for answering all of the questions submitted by people in the southern part of the United States for the Watchtower. His name was Mr. Bill Centner, and he was a very sincere man who studied his Bible regularly. But one day while reading Deuteronomy 18 about how you can tell the difference between a true prophet of God and a false prophet, he came to the shocking realization that the leaders at the Watchtower Society were false prophets. Why? Well, I'd like you to listen to Mr. Bill Centner as he explains the facts that he came to understand that led him away from the Watchtower Society. Listen.
All right. And first of all, would you tell me and tell our audience, what are the claims of the Jehovah's Witnesses? What do they claim, first of all? Could you just give me some statements about that?
John, I believe the most important thing that Jehovah's Witnesses claim is that they are God's prophet. They're God's spokesman. They're speaking for God.
Are they the only one?
And that they are the only right religion on earth.
All right, what else are they saying?
They also claim that they are the faithful and discreet slave that dispense spiritual food in due season, and you can only get it through their channel or through them.
They also claim they are the place of safety, the only place where you can be when God's wrath comes upon the world.
All right.
Sole channel of truth on the earth today, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society.
Right. That's what I get for being last. I was thinking the same thing, that they claim to know more about the accuracy of the Bible than any organization today.
The only ones with accurate knowledge. Mm-hmm.
All right. If you were to say that theirs is the only translation of the Bible, do they point people to the Bible only?
Every Jehovah's Witness carries a Bible with him. If he's working in a Catholic neighborhood, it'll be a Douay translation or an American translation. However, eventually, they will switch you to their perversion of the Bible, which I call the Green Phantom. It's a phantom because nobody knows who translated it.
All right.
And it's green.
Is their authority only the Scripture, then?
They claim that the Bible is the only authority, and then when you come in because of that Bible principle, they exchange it for an authority of their president or organization.
Okay, that's what they are claiming. And if we said there's more than 120 years that you have actually participated as a Jehovah's Witness in that, may I ask you this question? Do you folks still believe that now?
Absolutely not.
All right, let me ask you folks this. If you are saying that the Watchtower Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses, are the only way to God, that's what they were saying, and you participated in that in most of your adult life, why is it that you changed your mind?
The basic reason that I changed my mind was that Jehovah's Witnesses claim to be speaking for God. The Bible says if you are speaking for God, the prophecies that you make, the statements that you make, have to be absolutely true. They have to happen. Jehovah's Witnesses announced the end of the world for 1874, 1879, 1881, 1914, 1918, 1925, 1975. And now they display that new disease called loss of memory. They can't remember ever predicting the end of the world.
Give me an example of documented.
I have with me a copy of the Watchtower magazine, August 15th, 1968. It says, "Why are you looking forward to 1975?
And why were they?
Because they said that the world would end prior to October 1st, 1975, because the 6,000 years of man's existence will end in October, and Armageddon has to come before the last thousand years.
Were they talking about a spiritual ending or a real solid?
No, they're talking about a real
disappear.
Fumigation of the earth of everybody but Jehovah's Witnesses.
They actually said that?
Absolutely.
And the Kingdom Halls, did they actually, you know, were they expecting that? Had it up on the wall, marked this date, this is going to happen?
Well, that's why I can remember back that far, too, when we were at the Kingdom Hall in California. During that time, there was a thermometer on the back door of the Kingdom Hall, and it was marking the months till October the 1st, 1975. When, like Bill had said, 6,000 years of human existence would come to an end, marking the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. And, in fact, the Battle of Armageddon, when the earth would be, you know, all wickedness would be done away with. So it was continually in front of us at every meeting, at every gathering. It was always right there. It was always preached from the platform. 1975 is the date. Be faithful to the society.
All right, now Deuteronomy 18. Everybody that looks at their Bible realizes there's a definition of a true and a false prophet that's given there. Refresh our memories on what it actually says about
a true or false prophet.
You
always need two witnesses to establish a matter. One is Deuteronomy 18:21, John, that you mentioned. This is the clear definition. If you want to know the answer to this question, if you are sincere, how may I know a word that does not come from YHWH? If a prophet speaks in the authority, the name of YHWH, and if a word does not come true or come to pass, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you need not be afraid of him. Jesus also said that in Matthew 7:15. You will recognize the false prophets by their fruit. The fruit of a false prophet has to be false prophecies.
So let's summarize. How do you know that someone is a true prophet, giving true information from God, or nothing more than a false prophet? It's not by how good they look or how nice they are. Deuteronomy 18:21 and 22 says, you may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. In other words, God doesn't want us listening to false prophets. Why? Because he's given us evidence and reasons why we shouldn't. And then he's clearly pointed us to his son, Jesus, who proved he was God incarnate through his perfect life, his teachings, and his resurrection from the dead. Now, in a moment, we're going to turn to the second question, which is, how can so many religious groups quote the Bible, but end up teaching different doctrines that contradict the Bible? Before we look at that question, if you'd like to have all of the information in these programs for yourself, on either VHS videotape or audio cassette tape, here's how you may do so. I want you to listen. All right, now we want to turn to the question, how can so many religious groups quote the Bible, but end up teaching doctrines that are contrary to the Bible? Well, the answer is, they're not telling you the whole truth. Their doctrines do not come solely from the Bible. It's always the Bible and some other book or books that take priority over the Bible. To prove this to you, I want you to listen to one of my best friends, who is also one of our most popular guests on this television program, the late Dr. Walter Martin. He was the author and scholar who wrote the classic book, The Kingdom of the Cults. Well, one night we had a debate scheduled and the other side didn't show up. So on the spur of the moment, I said, Walter, let me take as many different religious groups and cults in our country as I can, and I want to ask you the very questions that they ask Christians. Now, only Dr. Walter Martin, with his photographic memory, could have done this program. And here's how he answered the question, how can so many religious groups claim that they are quoting the Bible, but end up teaching doctrines completely contrary to it? I want you to listen. Dr. Martin, we're so glad that you're with us tonight because many Christians are having folks from different religious persuasions knock on our door, talk to us at work, send us mail, they're even on television and on radio, that are telling us things that contradict what we are hearing in our Bible. Many times they make it sound so good that many of our Christian friends across the country, as well as many folks that do not know the Lord, need some help in straightening out what to say. And I would like to give some of the quotes from these different groups, and I'd like you to respond. And first, the basic things of the Bible. You know, I'd like to talk to you from the writings of the Kingdom Halls from across the country, from the Jehovah's Witnesses. And this is a statement that you find in their writings, and I'm quoting verbatim here. The Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God as it was originally given and has been preserved by Him as the revealer of His purposes. Now, we hear that. And yet, when they come to our door, they've got this little magazine with them. Would you comment on what is the authority for the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is the authority for Jehovah's Witnesses. They interpret the Bible for them. And the best illustration of this, John, is the concept of blood transfusion. They have told their people they may not, under any circumstances, take human blood. Not because the Bible forbids it, but because the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society says the Bible prohibits it. Take a few verses out of context and deny blood transfusion.
Give me another illustration.
Well, Mormonism says the Bible is the Word of God insofar as it's correctly translated. That means that wherever the Bible contradicts Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, or the Book of Mormon, their three sacred books, that the Bible is no longer the authority. They and their general authorities are the authority. So when you're dealing with Mormonism, that's exactly what you're going to
run up against. Do those books ever contradict outright a statement in Scripture? Give me an example.
Oh, yeah. For instance, the Bible says there is only one God. In fact, Jesus Christ said the greatest of all commandments is there is only one God. Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the Mormons say, as man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. Which means that you can become a god through the priesthood of the Mormon Church, just as much of a god as Jesus or his father, so they are polytheists.
All right, Mary Baker Eddy in Christian Science, talking about the Bible, says this, the manifest mistakes in the ancient versions, the 30,000 different readings in the Old Testament and the 300,000 in the New, these facts show how a mortal and material sense stole into the divine record, darkening to some extent the inspired pages with its own hue. This comes from Science and Health, page 33.
Well, Mrs. Eddy didn't believe in the absolute authority of the Bible, and she cited manuscript studies about which she knew nothing, as if this in some way impugned the doctrines of the Scripture. First of all, there aren't 300,000 at all, and the science of textual criticism is very exacting, and we do have, according to Dr. Bruce Metzger, 97% of the New Testament text as originally given, and it is very, very accurate. So Mrs. Eddy suffered from the fact that she didn't understand biblical theology or biblical criticism.
How about the Unification Church of Sun Myung Moon? He's got the divine principle. He talks about the Bible, and he's saying that the divine principle, which is 536 pages, is based on that. But would you comment?
It's not based on it at all. The divine principle contradicts the Bible. Mr. Moon denies the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, and he denies that Jesus Christ is literally God in human flesh, though he believes that he is the second advent of Christ, which we were discussing a while ago with the Baha'is.
So let's summarize question number two. How can so many religious groups quote the Bible, but end up teaching different doctrines? As we've seen, it's primarily because they have another authority, another sacred book that takes priority over the Bible. But Jesus, the apostles, and the prophets all taught that only the Bible is God's Word. By the way, how do we know that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God? Well, that's another whole program. And if you'd like to learn all of the answers, let me suggest you read this book, Ready with an Answer for the Tough Questions About God. Dr. John Weldon and I wrote this book, and we have chapters on the archaeological confirmations of the Bible, on what scholars have said about the accuracy of the Bible, chapters about science and history. We have another chapter on the absolute uniqueness of the Bible and why Jesus and the apostles claimed that only the books we have in the Bible are the inspired and inerrant Word of God. Now, this book's in all the Christian bookstores, but at the end of the program today, I'll tell you how to get it from us. But now I'd like to move on to our third question, which everyone at one time or another has asked. It is, how can Christians claim that there is only one God, if Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Father is God? Well, I'd like to go back to Dr. Walter Martin. I asked him to answer this question in light of the groups that we just mentioned. And here's how he answered. Listen. Every one of these folks that we've talked about disagrees on one specific thing, among others, and that is the Trinity.
Yes.
They do not want to hold to the concept of the Trinity. Let me start off with the Jehovah's Witness and read from the Watchtower Society's own booklet. They say that such doctrine is not of God. They say that it's of Satan. Satan is the originator of the Trinity doctrine. Sincere persons who want to know the true God and serve Him find it a bit difficult to love and worship a complicated, freakish-looking, three-headed God, etc., all the way down. Now, others would say the same thing. Let's talk about what is the proof that, how would you handle these folks? What is the proof scripturally that there is the triune God?
When you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, or for that matter, a cultist about the Trinity, the simplest thing to do is to say, look, the nature of God is beyond our understanding. Everybody knows that. I've said it many times. It's true. If you could understand how God was God, you'd be God. He doesn't ask us to do that. He simply says, this is my word, and in there I have revealed myself. So in the Word of God, you have the Father declared to be God, in 2 Peter chapter 1, God the Father. You have the Son declared to be God, in John chapter 1, verse 1. You have the Holy Spirit declared to be God, Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Then the Bible says, and these three persons are the one God. Why? Because there's only one God, so you don't have to be a great logician to figure out that if the Father is called God, the Son is called God, the Spirit is called God, and there's only one God, then the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are the one God, whether you understand it or not. And that's where they break down. They will not take the leap of faith that if God says it, that's sufficient.
Okay, specifically, let's take an example of the Mormons here, and quoting from Journal of Discourses. In the beginning, the head of the gods, plural, called a council of the gods, and they came together and concocted a plan to create the world. Or, God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man. Or, the Father has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, the Son also, but the Holy Ghost has not a body of flesh and bones, but is a personage of spirit. Or God exists, and we had better strive to be prepared to be one with them. Tell me what's going on here.
Joseph Smith is a supreme interpreter of Mormonism, obviously, historically. And Joseph Smith said he would always preach on the plurality of gods. And then he said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three gods. Now, that's the difference between Mormonism and Christianity. Mormonism is tritheistic. It believes in three separate gods. The Bible says there's only one God who manifests himself to us as three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's a complete difference. And Mormonism adds to that the doctrine that you can become a god. So in Mormon theology, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which are three gods. Then you become one, that's four. Brigham is one, that's five. And keep adding, and by the time you get finished, you get 5.2 million Mormons. So you could probably figure out at least a million or so gods coming out of that.
All right, let's jump to Mary Baker Eddy. This is what she says. The theory of three persons in one God, that is a personal trinity or triunity, suggests heathen gods rather than the one ever-present I Am. From Science and Health, page 152.
Yeah, Mrs. Eddy took the Hindu trinity and other pagan ideas and said, well, it's all the same thing. The Christian trinity is the same thing, therefore it suggests pagan gods. Again, it's the ignorance of Mrs. Eddy because she was not a scholar in comparative religions and she didn't understand historic Christian theology. Christian theology never said that there was more than one God. It always affirmed that there was one God and simply said he manifests himself as these three persons. Now, God never anywhere explained to us how he did it. All he said was, this is how it is. Mrs. Eddy refused that.
For additional resources or to view our TV program, log on to jashow.org. That's jashow.org.